Welcome to the Vancouver Tech Podcast. My name is James.
And I'm Drew. This is our first one for 2016. I'm pretty excited. How are your holidays there, James?
Pretty good, but I feel like, you know, this is like one of these lame jokes where people say, I need a holiday from that holiday. So I do, because I traveled a lot. I traveled to Ontario, then I traveled bounce between Toronto, Newmarket, and Ottawa. So I was kind of traveling a lot. What about yourself?
I took it easy, stayed local. I got to spend some time with family, got to some of that paperwork I'd been planning on getting to, and just kind of really recuperated from a long year.
Did you do any development over the break?
I did a little bit, but I kind of went more toward some planning and things like that for some upcoming projects.
Yeah. I caught up on my podcast that I've been building up up until the break, because I know whenever I take that break, I'll have a lot of time sitting on a train, sitting on the plane.
Yeah.
So I caught up on all those. I finished Outliers. I was saying to you, I finished Outliers by Malcolm Gladwell, which is a pretty sweet book.
What did you think of it?
I thought it was good. I started listening to The Tipping Point as well, which if you've listened to both, they're very similar. Outliers is about extraordinary people and how they became extraordinary. Tipping Point is about extraordinary situations and how they became extraordinary, which is very interesting. I don't like Tipping Point as much. I'm on chapter 5 or 6, Outliers. I actually liked it a lot.
Is Tipping Point also Malcolm Gladwell?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's his other book. And then he has a couple other ones, but I'll check them out. Because he narrates as well. It's an I listen to a lot of audiobooks and he narrates as well. And I really like the way he narrates. It's
good. Yeah, it's not my typical type of author for my personal reading, but the book Outliers was recommended to me, and I read it. I think the first book I read entirely on my phone. I thought it was pretty good. Actually, it was a pretty straightforward read, and a lot of the stuff seemed pretty, I guess, common sense after you know about it.
Yeah, right? Like the thing. There's one actually about Bill Gates, Steve Jobs, and Bill Joy. These three like amazing people, and the way that they're all born within a year of each other. They all grew up around, like, they all got computers before they were 21. They all had Ataris after that, and it was like this really crazy thing. It's like coincidence after coincidence. After coincidence, which sort of says, like, well, that's not a coincidence anymore. This is how they became who they are.
Well, the funny thing is, when we see extraordinary things or extraordinary circumstances, we see it on the news, we see it wherever, and we think, wow, that's amazing. It's absolutely fantastic that this happened. It's a one in a million thing. Well, guess what? There's 7 billion people on Earth.
Yeah.
And with the way that we're able to share information now, those kind of one in a million things are happening on a regular basis.
When at the end of the book there, or at the end of the audiobook, there was an interview with Malcolm Gladwell, and he talked about making the book, and he talked about when he interviewed Bill Gates, because Bill Gates, I think he said by the time Bill Gates was like 15 or 16, he probably had more hours programming than anyone else on the planet, because he got free access to this computer at a school that he was going to, because...
And there was something about one of the students' parents owning a software company, needing testers as well.
And they were testing him, him and his friend were working for this software company. They were like, they were teenagers, and it was just, it's amazing to think that there was this one person. Bill Gates even said, I had probably the most experience ever. I didn't realize he was such a prolific programmer.
Right.
I thought he was more, I just didn't know that about him. And now thinking about it, it's like, oh, he was the absolute expert. He was the outlier for his field.
Right.
So it's pretty amazing.
Yeah, I think it's kind of funny sometimes when we look at these people, we often hear the term, you know, self-made man or self-made person, just kind of shrug it off and think, wow, that person came from nothing. But when we look at their actual background, there's usually a lot of incredible circumstances around it. But also, not to take credit completely away from the person.
Yeah.
So in Bill Gates' case, for example, he had to take advantage of that. He had to like it. There had to be something that sparked his passion. And it definitely did. I mean, there was, I think, something as well about him, you know, waking up in the middle of the night, sneaking out to go and program, which is awesome.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of us can probably relate to that.
He would sneak out and he would come back home super, super early in the morning and get like a few hours sleep before he went back to school again. And there was one about him like having to, you know, actually work at these jobs. And, you know, he spent all his free time. So people say luck is opportunity meets hard work. This Outliers was the same thing. Opportunity meets hard work. They say if you just gave up, if you didn't make it to 10,000 hours, then 10,000 hours is this trope that sort of came out of the book that was saying you become an expert at 10,000 hours. There's another study of musicians. But he said once he got to this point, if he didn't put in those 10,000 hours when he had the opportunity to do that, he wouldn't be where he was today. And he actually says, like, yeah, that's absolutely right. So it's not to, like you said, take away from the actual accomplishments of these people, but it's saying that this is how you become successful. Take advantages of opportunities no one else has.
Yeah, that sounds pretty good.
So did you have any resolutions for this year?
I resolved to gain 10 pounds and drink more beer. How about you?
Yeah, personally, I want to travel more. I know that you've traveled a lot in your life, and like I feel like I haven't, and so I'm like getting jealous of people being like, yeah, I traveled here and traveled there and went here and it was really cool, and like so I'm kind of like getting jealous and antsy about wanting to travel more and take more time off this year.
Cool. You know? So when are you going traveling?
This summer, hopefully, I can explore BC because I really haven't explored BC that much. I want to go to the island. Want to go to? I have some friends in. Oh man, it's that city far north where all the old people live. Plainsville?
I have no idea. Yeah, it's a city
like
far north where the old people live.
Past Nanaimo.
There's probably a lot of places there. Parksville.
Parksville, that's the one. Yeah, I keep forgetting the name, but apparently that's where the old people live.
That's pretty interesting. Yeah, so, I guess if you put it that way, I do have some travel plans coming up.
Yeah.
February 6th, there's a craft beer festival happening in Gibson's. Which is, I mean, it's not too far away, but if it is BC travel, it'll be probably grab a ferry, spend, get a B&B, spend the weekend there.
Yeah.
Should be pretty fun.
That's cool.
Other than that, Japan in February.
Yeah, I was going to say you have a wedding or something, right?
Yeah. There's somebody, my girlfriend's, one of her close friends is getting married, I think, on Valentine's Day. So that'll be an interesting way
to
spend it.
That's really soon, then. That's like a month, a little over a month, 6 weeks, 5 weeks.
Yeah, we actually haven't made any plans yet, so we got to book everything today.
Yeah, I think, how about any professional resolutions for your professional or career?
Not really, but I did start doing a kind of startup, so that might fall into that.
Sure.
So I've got a pretty... I think a very unique and or a very comfortable beginning for this. So no real expectations, but I've got an idea I've kind of had for quite a while. I spent a number of years teaching, and I always wanted kind of better tools, you know. And with teaching, there's an interesting thing because you teach the same things quite a few times, at least. Maybe on a yearly, depending on the type of teacher you are. I had an opportunity to teach the same unit from the same book 40 times per week for a couple of years.
Holy.
Although, I mean, we continued with multiple books later on. But
So,
I mean, you start to really, really see the thing. Talk about 10,000 hours.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
So you start to see how things are put together. And I got to a point where I was able to actually write an entire unit of a textbook in about an hour and a half to 2 hours from conception to actual execution.
Wow.
Because it was what I was doing all day, every day.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I thought something that would be really cool to do would be have soft tools for teachers. Not online teaching, but online assisted teaching, or maybe prep tools. There's kind of a lot that goes into it. But anyway, I started storying it out with Pivotal Tracker. I found GitLab. Have you heard of GitLab?
Yeah, I'm not a fan.
No.
I use GOGS instead, G-O-G-S.
Oh, okay.
Found a lot nicer.
Interesting. Yeah. So GitLab, I think I've used an older implementation of it before that was self-hosted, that didn't seem that impressive. But the one of the nice things about the GitLab hosted one is unlimited collaborators and unlimited private repos for free.
That's like Bitbucket too, I guess, if you're like, it's like the lazy man's.
Well, it's like Bitbucket but with unlimited collaborators.
So
Bitbucket's model limits you to 5 collaborators per private project.
Right, okay.
So why do I need unlimited collaborators? I don't. But I decided to give it a try.
You never know.
Yeah, it gives me an excuse to try it out.
I think it'd be cool to hear about maybe some of the challenges you get regionally in terms of like being this sort of maybe new startup in Vancouver, and maybe talking a little bit about maybe some of the challenges or maybe some of the tricks or little tips that you find.
Well, that's what I'm hoping to do is kind of use it as a good excuse to build something out. And I figure it'll probably take me a couple of months to get an MVP that I can start to kind of show people and pitch and or promote. But one of the main ideas is just to get a sense of who's out there in Vancouver, who's in our tech scene that's going to be somebody who can, you know, invest, mentor, help out, partner with. What's there? And can we go and do a serious evaluation of the resources we have in the tech community?
That's awesome. Yeah. For my professional stuff, I think just I'd like to earn more money. That's always a good one, eh? Mm-hmm. I think hiring someone that'll handle a lot of the sales stuff that we have at my company, just to take that off my plate and make it a little bit easier for me mm-hmm. to like give up some of my time. It'd be nice to get another back-end developer, but we'll see. I just probably got to put in the training and all that. So mm-hmm. it's a decision between spending a lot on an expert or spending very little on a person you have to train, which right. is always a gamble. But it's just one of those things, you know?
So what sort of technologies are in your stack?
We have used LampStack mm-hmm. As well as a few little node things on the side sometimes.
Okay.
And we use Laravel for PHP, which is like, mm-hmm. you know, it's the rails of PHP.
So I haven't used it at all. I think it started gaining popularity past couple of years, maybe 3 years ago, something like that.
Laravel?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's really popular now.
Yeah. It seems pretty cool. So what flavor of Linux on your LampStack?
I usually use Ubuntu, but we mm-hmm. do have a few cent boxes.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. And we use DigitalOcean.
Nice.
Yeah. I mean, we don't have like, our stuff is normal, you know, quote unquote websites. Mm-hmm. So we don't really need to go too crazy. Our $5 a month covers every single thing we need. Mm-hmm. And then we just use a LAMP image with like the latest versions of most stuff, MySQL and all that stuff. So that's sort of what we use. Unless we're using MariaDB because we're hip. Mm-hmm. We're using that too.
So MariaDB, that's a little bit different from MySQL.
It's a open source implementation of MySQL, but the difference is that they're focusing on adding new features and getting updates without having to have that sort of, like the enterprise version, I believe, has different features, and MariaDB tries to re-implement those. It also rewrites a bunch of the core to fix bugs, and they also have like charts that show it's significantly faster. Which is a big deal. And the turnaround on versions is really quick.
So that makes it sound a lot more compelling and interesting to maybe use as opposed to the argument that I heard, which was, well, it's not Oracle.
Yeah. It's literally a drop-in replacement for MySQL. So on my local MacBook, mm-hmm. I have MariaDB. And when I push to my server, which has MySQL like 5.6, mm-hmm. it's nothing changes at all. It's completely transparent. You'd never That's know that cool. I developed on a different version, you know? Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So I was also thinking it'd be cool if we had some like predictions for 2016.
Yeah.
Do you have any predictions for 2016?
Any predictions for 2016? Well, I predict there are going to be four seasons this year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that different from, is that something different than before or?
Not sure.
Yeah.
Haven't really been paying attention.
Yeah.
How about you?
I think I was going to say something about, we'll see yet another JavaScript framework come out.
Oh, yeah, of course. I think one of the things that I'm actually looking forward to is seeing some more developer edition computers. So laptops, notebooks with a Linux-based install.
Oh, that's cool. Mm-hmm. You know, actually, I've been thinking of getting a new computer. You can see mine here. It's a 2011 MacBook.
Yep.
So I've been thinking about whether I should go for another MacBook or go for like one of those Dell XPS 13s
yeah.
that come with Linux pre-installed. So you can just check off the Linux box, save mm-hmm. yourself $200 or $300 from getting Windows, and you get a really nice computer for that much.
So the interesting thing with those, they have, I guess, a nicer display, don't they?
Yeah, they have a, I guess, high-density display. Mm-hmm.
And they also really have a very thin profile in the bezel.
Yeah.
I think the housing is not as nice because it's not aluminum.
Yes. It is machined metal. I'm not sure how much is, though. Mm-hmm. I've seen pictures and stuff, and I really can't tell from the pictures. You know, they do a good job of covering their plastic to make it look like metal.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really hard to tell. I've never touched one in person, but...
okay.
Yeah.
And then the keys, I think it's actually a pretty sweet machine.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't want to pay more for that than get a MacBook, personally.
Yeah. I think if you max them out, they're around, I think, $1,400. I think if you max it out with everything you can possibly get.
So for my personal laptop, I have a... I guess I got it in 2014 in November. Mm-hmm. So I've got a MacBook Pro Retina 13-inch. It's the i5 and it's the base 8 gigs of memory. It's only a 128 SSD as well. So I got that for, I think it would have been $1,250 at Future Shop at the time. And I had a $100 gift certificate for Future Shop. So it was like $1,150.
Nice.
It was kind of a no-brainer and I don't think I could do better for that price.
Yeah.
Getting anything else hardware wise. On the other hand, I've got a friend who has a Chromebook Pixel, which is also, it's a really nice sharp display, nicer than
the 2013 one or the 2015 one? Because there's two of them.
I'm not sure.
Must have been, if it was a couple of years ago, we probably had the original one that came out at Google I.O.
Yeah, I think it might have been, but it still had a really nice crisp display. And with Crouton, he has Elementary OS on it.
Oh.
And that thing is sweet.
Yeah, that's the pretty one, right?
Mm-hmm.
The really pretty one.
Yeah, it sure is.
I think, I predicted, I think we'll see another JavaScript framework for sure.
Yep.
I think we'll see, I think I posted in the YVR Dev Slack maybe a few months ago about WordPress changing the way that they work.
Mm-hmm.
And for people that don't know, WordPress powers like 50% of the internet, you know, when it comes to like websites and blogs. So I think seeing that, could cause a huge impact for hosts and stuff like that. How do they manage that? Like, I think
it's
that'll cause a little kerfuffle. I think we'll see some more stuff about servers in foreign countries, like people hosting their content in foreign countries that have better security laws.
Because
I know there's a huge thing about people not wanting their data being sniffed and all this stuff about the NSA and the UK government and all this stuff. We know that I think AWS just opened a South Korean server. So I think you'll see a lot more stuff going overseas and them expanding into these other countries where the laws are much stronger for that kind of stuff. And I think you'll see end-to-end encryption happening a lot between servers and even with emails, like all these email services coming out now that are end-to-end. So if someone says, give me what you have, they can say, sure, but it's all gibberish. You can't read it. It's all encrypted.
Right.
So I think you'll see a lot of that stuff too.
You think so? That's pretty interesting. It'll be an interesting year. That's a lot to jam into 1 year.
Yeah. I mean, maybe we should do a 2015 in review to just see how much was jammed in last year.
Because
last year was packed. But yeah. Do you want to do some events?
Yeah, sure. Let's take a look at the
meetups
around town.
Cool. So I thought today was, or this week was going to be light, but it's pretty packed. Hack Study Mentor Night is the first thing. It's on Monday. So we've talked about this one a little bit before. And it's the one where you would sort of bring your computer and you'd sit around with a bunch of your friends and you can hack on that new thing. So maybe that's a place you can go with your new startup. Maybe pitch it around, see if you can find any little loopholes or little tricks you can use.
It's a really interesting idea. Yeah, I've got a few things to think about this next coming month or two. There's so many different startups, so many different meetups to go to. There's the startup idea to work on. And then there's also a new cohort going to be happening at CodeCore, where I also tutor in the evenings. So quite a lot going on. But I'd definitely like to make it out to the Hack Night.
Yeah, that's Monday, which is today if you're listening to this when it came out, and that's from 6 to 9 p.m.
And
that's
where's
actually
that at?
Mozilla YVR offices, 163 West Hastings.
So that's right by the there's a coffee shop on the corner there on Cambie and Hastings, and it's right upstairs.
It's right across from Vancouver Film School's main office too. So if you've seen all the cool video stuff, it's across from that. Yeah, that's where their like intake is.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and then on Tuesday we have Pie Ladies Hack Night.
Yeah, that seems pretty interesting. So that's over at Demonware, and that's from 7 to 9:30. I haven't been out to a Pie Ladies Hack Night, but are you planning to go, James?
Well, I think I'll sit that one out. I'm not a Python person, at the moment I'm not a lady, so, you know, I'll sit that one out.
But should be pretty interesting. Demonware would be a great place to go and check out. And it seems like it's a very nice, open sort of environment where you can go and you can hack on things in Python. It says, you know, if you've got a laptop, bring it by. And if you've got a project to work on, that's great. If not, you know, maybe you can pair up with someone and just observe things like that. So it should be a really good place to either get your feet wet with Python or build out a project and talk to some other people who are doing that.
Yeah, absolutely. That one's Tuesday, January 12th, 7 to 9:30 p.m. And that was at Demonware. And that's Suite 700, 369 Terminal Avenue.
Yeah, so another one I thought I'd add and talk about is the Vancouver Internet Startups. They have a group. They seem to be posting a few meetups. I'm not sure if they're a new group now. I've just came across them. And they've got this Ideation 101, finding the perfect idea. And I thought this is interesting, you know, finding the perfect idea. What do these, and this was my take on it, so completely opinionated. What are these business people, what are their take on, you know, finding the perfect idea? So it seems to be geared toward tech startups and, you know, let's do an internet startup, which is interesting. It's a different way from what I was looking at going about doing a startup. So I thought I'd get a different perspective and see what people have to say about it.
So it looks like there's a couple sponsors here. One is Spring, which I guess is an incubator of some kind.
Yeah, so it's actually held at the Spring headquarters, or Spring HQ, 211 East Georgia. So that would be on the other side of...
Maine, I guess, right?
Other side of Maine, yeah.
I don't know. I don't know where that is. I don't where go there too often.
Where is 211? So I think actually... wow, that's interesting. Do you know the Ramen Butcher?
No.
Ramen Butcher.
No.
Got some pretty decent ramen. I think that's actually on East Georgia there.
Yeah, it's literally just on the other side of Maine. So if you pass Maine, it's right that's on the other side, right across.
Interesting. I wonder if that's going to be a new area for some startups and
that's
stuff.
That's cool. And there's another one, Kick, another incubator program here that they're sort of advertising.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, Kick is another, it's another incubator program designed to take your business from the earliest stages to clear reality.
So definitely something to go and check out if you're interested in doing a startup or, you know, evaluating somebody else's idea, I guess. But I definitely want to go and check that out. That's 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Tuesday, January 12th.
Yeah, I think I'm actually going to check that one out. That one seems really cool and interesting, different from what we've been going to in the past anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw another one here. This is for people that are sort of just getting into the sort of development space. Dive into HTML and CSS. Mm-hmm. So this one's Wednesday at 6 p.m., and that's at Red Academy, which is 1490 West Broadway, across the bridge there.
If you actually go over, I think there's a Blends on the corner there on Broadway. And
I think it's right above. It's with Suite 200.
Yeah, it's right above it. So that should be pretty cool. I read an interesting article. I can't think of when it was published, but I just read it this morning after looking at this link about Red Academy that was published by the Georgia Strait. And it said something, and it seems like the academy itself looks pretty cool. I'd like to go by and check it out, and hopefully we'll have someone from there on the show sometime. But the article said something that I thought, wow, this is really misinformation, I think. And not in part from Red Academy, by the way, but from the Georgia Strait, whoever the writer was for that, which was, it said something that people are calling Vancouver Silicon Valley North. Mm. I thought, who's calling us Silicon Valley North?
The people that move south to Silicon Valley. I think Toronto would claim that same description, as well as Waterloo. You know, I'm sure Montreal might even say the same thing.
Yeah, I don't think we're anywhere near that stage yet. I think maybe 10 years from now, if we get 1.5 million developers or so, you know, like it would have to be a huge shift for us to be Silicon Valley North, in my opinion.
I think about it, maybe something better would be the Canadian alternative to such and such a program or such and such a
thing. I don't know.
Because the Canadian one's automatically like a tenth of the size.
Yeah.
You know, whatever the Canadian version of any American thing is.
Yeah, I just don't feel there's nearly as much happening or as many big things. However, talking about predictions, we might see some pretty big Goliaths coming from Vancouver this year.
Oh, yeah?
I don't know.
we'll keep our eyes peeled.
We'll definitely keep our eyes peeled for that.
The next one is Intro to the UX Design Process. That's also at Red Academy.
Also at the same time.
Yeah, that's also Wednesday at 6 p.m. So that one actually is, I mean, just UX design. If you are a designer or thinking of getting into that type of user experience design, this would be probably a great little place to check it out and see what kind of what's
cooking.
Well,
as these are intro to and dive into, it seems to me like it would be more catered for people who are interested in that. It might be something worth while for me to go to as well if I'm trying to build out like a user interface that's nice to use.
True.
Hey, intro to the UX design process might
be
helpful.
I also think you can get little tricks. Like user experience is about how to make someone happy, essentially. Like how to make someone use your stuff. So it can also implement the way that you implement things. Like, oh, you know, it'd be cool if we added this little feature behind the scenes that would help someone on the front end. So you enter in a phone number. If it never formats, then, you know, that's kind of that looks funny. Returning the proper validation message. Like all of this is UX. Of course, you'd be working with your other people on your team, but it's something that if you understand, it'll make you a better, you know, developer. It'll make you a better person to on your team to have all those skills.
Might be interesting. Are you thinking of going by?
I think so. I mean, we, like at my company, we don't necessarily sell UX. We do normally say something like, well, we use websites all day, every day for the last 3 years. And so if we don't feel like it works properly, and we critique websites all day, every day, if we're using it and it feels wrong, we'll change it. So that's sort of what UX is. It needs to feel right. It needs to follow a convention. Mm-hmm. So there's all that stuff too. But just as an important note, there is a registration for these. So there's a Pick-A-Tick link, and we'll put that in our description. So if you are thinking of going to either of these events, there is a link to register. So just make sure you do that.
Pretty cool. So I'd like to go to something there and check out Red Academy, but that day doesn't work for me because there will be the Van Ruby Developer Hack Night, and that's also Wednesday, January 13th. It's from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m., and that's at the MoGo office, 2100 401 West Georgia.
So what are we expecting at the Hack Night then?
So the Hack Night itself is pretty chill. We'll probably have about 20 or so developers come out and really just work on a project in Ruby. So if you don't have a project to work on, you can feel free to be a mentor for some people who might need mentorship, or, you know, talk tech, talk about, you know, some things in the something cool you found with Ruby, or maybe tools. I mean, there might be an Emacs versus Vim versus, ooh, you know, Vim debate, yeah, or something, or, you know, but, you know, little things like that, talking about tools with your chain, just get a chance to hang out with some other people in the Ruby development community. And I'll probably be working on a project there that I'm not sure if my startup idea is actually going to require a back end. I'll probably just be leveraging Google's API.
Yeah.
So in this case, I might work on a continuous delivery workflow, like CI/CD workflow that I've been trying to put together, but kind of also putting off as well.
So you'd use that to sort of mitigate most of the backend development? You'd push to a server and then it would do your
stuff?
No.
This is a completely separate, completely separate process. So just looking at building out a couple of services in Ruby that you know, are Dockerized and doing committing to pushing commits would also build the images and then end up with spinning up new images on AWS or whatever.
Cool.
Yeah.
So Open Late at OpenDNS. This is also Wednesday. I mean, Wednesday literally has five events at the same time that we found.
Yeah.
So it's going to be tough to pick. So this one was Docker Container Security.
That looks really cool as well. I mean, a lot of people are using Docker. The past two, I'm not sure if that's the past, but I think the past two meetups at OpenDNS for Open Late have been based on Docker. So it should be pretty cool. Docker Container Security, nice.
Cool. Yeah. And that's Wednesday, 6 p.m. That's at the OpenDNS office, 675 West Hastings.
Yeah, and that's on the fifth floor there. There's usually a sign posted.
Cool.
And then the next one coming up, choosing the right social media platforms for your business, same day. In fact, it's in the same building as one of the other meetups.
Yeah, it's the same as the as your MoGo meetup.
It is, and that's at Unbounce on the fourth floor there, 401 West Georgia. They have a really nice space there for community events. In fact, I think they have about a quarter of the whole floor is sectioned off just for events.
Nice. That's cool. Awesome. This one is paid. This one is $10 a person.
Oh, it is?
Yes. In case you're kind of thinking of going, make sure you find a way to pay for that, because it is $10. Looks like you can pay online. Mm-hmm. So, you know, just prepay. Do that. It's $15 at the door, so you can get a little, you can save yourself a few ducats buying online. That's pretty cool.
Nice. And then another one coming up the next day, actually on Thursday, 12 steps how to create, monetize, market, own mobile app to rock your business.
Yeah, I saw this one and I thought, oh, this is something we don't normally cover. So this one's actually on Thursday at 7 a.m. By someone called GNF Financial Group. That's where it is. That's at 2941 West Broadway. That one's also a paid event, $5 per person. So I thought this one was interesting because it's something that we haven't really talked about or pushed a little bit. And it just, it's also in Kits, which is cool. It's like not, you know, to cover a lot of downtown stuff, but this one's a little outside of that.
Yeah.
And there's probably a lot of people out there that do have a mobile app or are thinking of adding a mobile app to their business. So this could be a great little place to figure out, okay, well, what do I need to focus on with this mobile app?
And if you need an excuse to get up and out to Kits at 7 a.m. on a Thursday, there you go. So that looks like the upcoming week of meetups. There's a lot going on, a few hack nights and some startup sort of stuff, as well as some intro to front-end stuff. So should be a pretty fun-filled week.
Yeah, Wednesday's going to be tough. Like, there's five things. I don't know what I'm going to do.
I know what I'm doing. I'm actually going to be at MoGo.
Yeah.
The Ruby Hack Night.
Yeah.
It's going to be awesome.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. That's it for events.
All right, so we're here with Joe Lynch. Now, Joe, you spent some time as a web developer from out east, or software developer. Yep. You've got quite a bit of an interesting background. You spent some time in Calgary. You traveled around the world for about a year, and yep. then you ended up in Vancouver. Tell us a little bit about your experience.
So the first time when I came to Vancouver, I was starting my trip. And I was really fresh then, and I had a good bank account right before my year of travel and everything. So I had a chance to meet some really awesome people here, and I was able to go and enjoy everything the city had to offer. You know, go out to all the restaurants and stuff. I love the sushi, go out to the mountains and everything. You know, rent a car and just drive out for a couple days and come back. Go out to Victoria, and, well, Vancouver has a lot to offer in that regard. The mountains, the nature, it's really quite scenic. Walked around pretty much all of the seawalls, walked around all of downtown, all the places around downtown, Kits and everything, over to the north side of the bay, and had a really great time.
So you took this year of travel, yep. I guess, in half to 2014, 2015,
yep.
and you've decided, out of all the places that you visited in Canada on your trip, you decided, oh, I'm settling in Vancouver, and I'm going to try to find a job here in Vancouver.
Yeah. But you also traveled not just in Canada. You went to Asia and...
Yeah, do you want to hear more about that?
Sure. Or...
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I guess part of the reason I wanted to travel was I wanted to know more about the world and understand more. So that's why the first place I went was to Southeast Asia. And I had my backpack. I had sold everything back home, quit my job, got rid of my place. Didn't really have any connections to home. I just went, didn't know where I was going, how long I was going, didn't know how it was going to work out.
Sounds pretty exciting and adventurous.
Yeah, I put myself in some pretty uncomfortable positions, found my way out of them, and grew a lot from it. I met tons of awesome people, definitely got off the beaten path, definitely got a sense of how people's lifestyles are very different over there, and also how a lot of things are really quite the same. A lot of the problems everyone faces around the world ultimately end up being the same things. I mean, we're all human, we're living on the same planet, it all ends up kind of boiling down to a lot of the same stuff.
Any amazing, unusual foods that you could recommend?
Well, the only one actually that I came across which surprised me or caught me off guard was some of the time I had been in Thailand, there's street food everywhere. Mm-hmm. It's awesome. It's fantastic. So the best food you can imagine, really cheap. One of the things they have there is a hard-boiled egg. What they'll do is they'll crack open a tiny little hole in the top of the egg, kind of pour it out into a bowl or something, I guess, mix up the yolk with salt and pepper or whatever, some seasoning, put it back in the egg and cook it. So it's like a seasoned hard-boiled egg. It's really good and cheap.
That's like a deviled egg, right? Similar?
Not quite. Deviled egg, you boil it, take the shell off, and then cut it in half and do all
your
stuff.
You whip the yolk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this one, it's you crack the top open while it's still raw,
pour
out
okay.
all the yolk and everything, then kind of mix it up in a bowl with all salt and pepper,
nice.
And then put it back in the shell, and then
How do you
cook
it. Back in the shell?
Yeah.
Funnel, maybe?
Syringe.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. Syringe? It's got a little tiny hole. You can see where they crack
That's
it.
That's like the tube in the toothpaste problem.
Or maybe
How
they
get
just,
that back in?
They could just crack it open, put the seasoning in, then like shake it. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway,
maybe.
Those
yeah.
are really good.
You'll have to go back to Thailand to find out that one question that Drew has about how do they put it back in.
Or I'll have to go.
Yeah.
You should probably go. It's really good. Later in my trip, I was going through Cambodia, and not nearly as much street food there, but still street food, still really good, still really cheap. Once again, going a little bit off the beaten path, I found some more hard-boiled eggs, and I was like, oh, these are really good. I'll buy these. So I bought them, took them back to where I was staying, cracked the first one open, and kind of looked at it a little bit weird. There were a bunch of veins and stuff inside of it. I was like, cracked open a bit more. It's like, I think that's, yeah, that's fertilized. Put it to the side. Grab the next egg. All right. Same thing. It's like there's almost a fully developed duckling in there. I'm not eating that.
Yeah.
So I think it's called balut.
Yeah.
B-A-L-U-T.
And my girlfriend's Filipino. They have balut in the Philippines. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I didn't know about that. So that caught me off guard. And I guess some people have a varying degrees of how fertilized it is or how far along it is. These ones are pretty much fully developed.
Yeah, if you watch the videos of people eating it, they'll crack it. I've never had it myself. My girlfriend's had the opportunity to have it, but she said she didn't want to do it because obviously it's like looking at an unformed baby duckling. But apparently it tastes just like the yolk of the egg, but there's sometimes bones in there.
I've heard people say the yolk is all right, but if I ate these ones, it would have been munching down on a little baby duckling's head and stuff.
So unformed, no problem. Fully formed, no problem. In between, no way.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's an interesting thing.
Yeah. Cool. Good point.
Okay, so coming back to, you made it back to Vancouver.
Yeah.
And how's your experience been this time?
So this time around, end of my trip, things definitely wound down a lot from the beginning. A little bit kind of back to earth. Need a bit more stability this time around. bank account's running dangerously low, so just kind of scrounging by on rent and food and everything. So this time I'm playing it much more safe, I guess, much more quiet. So I've had to stay in a lot more, you know, cooking all my food, buying all my groceries, budgeting a lot. So, I mean, you go to any city and you do that, and you're going to be a lot more limited in your options. However, Vancouver has been really nice because the meetup scene for all the tech groups has been very, very active. I met you at the Mogu Open House, Drew.
That's right.
And I met you at Coffee and Code or Code and Coffee?
Yeah, Code and Coffee.
Code and Coffee, James.
Yeah.
And, I mean, then I just ran into you again at the library.
Yeah.
I mean, that's...
Is giving away your secret spot? Yeah.
So that part of Vancouver has been pretty awesome. Just the ability to meet a bunch of new people in my field and who like a lot of the same stuff I do. That's a really good thing about Vancouver.
So you're here looking for a job. How's the job search going? So there's probably a lot of people that are moving here for opportunities, but yeah, you found it. How have you found it so far?
So far, I've a little bit of it was kind of bringing me back down to earth. Maybe I had expectations a little bit too high.
Sure.
I think what it's turned out is there's been more competition than I expected. A lot of the places I'm applying and putting my resume in, or even meeting people and talking to them and, you know, getting my resume in through that way. A lot of times what it seems to be coming down to is I interview well, everything goes well, but at the end, they end up going with someone more senior, and there's not really a lot I can do about that. I mean, I can't really just give myself several years of experience like that.
So you've taken this year off, and obviously it was great. Obviously, personally, I've talked to you quite a bit about your travel and how and all the places that you went. So yeah. This year off was a great personal experience, but do you find that it's hurt your career a little bit, or do you think it's a factor?
I think it's just a matter of time before I find work again. I have a few years experience already, about 3 years work experience, plus my schooling, plus all my other background experience before that. I'm not too worried about it affecting my career. I left at a time when I thought it was reasonable and responsible to leave and still come back and be able to find work. Definitely, it's probably had a bit of a dent as far as people... I'm sure some people have second-guessed it because I've had that gap.
Right.
But I'm still quite confident that I'm going to be able to find work, no problem. I mean, I've still been programming while I've been gone, so it's not like I'm entirely out of the loop.
Well, just from talking to you, I mean, I haven't had a look at any of your code or anything like that, but I get a general sense that you know what you're doing. You wouldn't have really many problems at all hopping on board with somebody's software and being able to contribute. I found for me personally, and maybe you can let me know what that's like, I found that... getting to know people was a really good thing, and cultural fit seems huge in software, maybe more so than a lot of other industries, although I mean, obviously it's a pretty big deal most places. What have you found so far, and what sort of jobs are you looking for?
So I would definitely agree with what you just said. The cultural fit seems to be huge, especially in Vancouver. It's very very kind of, I don't know if I'd go clicky, but it's definitely a very liberal culture. And definitely if you don't fit in with that, you probably wouldn't fit in with most of the companies. But for me, that's an amazing thing. That's what I want.
So specifically, what sort of job have you been looking for? What sort of company would you like to work for?
What sort of company would I like to work for? Preferably something, doesn't necessarily have to be a startup, but it has to be more towards kind of that open environment where people are encouraged to contribute and be creative and kind of get the job done. Definitely somewhere that would be challenging and where the people I'm working with are interested in doing their job. I don't want to be stuck somewhere at a 9-to-5 job where everyone's just kind of clocking it in and that's it. They just want to get paid. I want to work somewhere that people are a little bit passionate about the project at the very least. And there's plenty of work to do. There's plenty of new stuff coming. There's lots of opportunity to learn and be challenged. That's pretty much sums up where I want to work. On a technical level, I have a lot of web development experience, but I'm interested in app designing or programming just about anything.
So we've seen a lot of people that we've talked to get a really positive experience out of boot camps. Have you thought about possibly going back to a boot camp? I know that at least where we met it or where you met Drew at Mogo, it's a lot of Rails stuff that's going around. And a lot of the boot camps here are a lot of Rails stuff. Have you thought about maybe re-educating yourself in a different technology?
So I've looked at some of the boot camp stuff. Mm-hmm. I didn't actually consider taking another course in, say, Rails or something. I looked at some of them. From what I saw, it was more for maybe teaching you how to program a bit more. I feel I'm able to do that just fine. I'm able to pick up languages fine. What I'm looking for more so is just kind of getting the experience at a workplace. Also, at the moment, I don't think I could afford to go to some of these boot camp places. My budget is quite strapped. But I'm perfectly confident to just learn it on the spot. I mean, I just learned C Sharp, and I was comfortable with it in the first few days, and I'd never seen it before.
Well, that was another question I was going to come up with. It seems to me that you've got a few years experience and you know what you're doing when it comes to development. Of course, you know, maybe not at a senior level yet, mm-hmm. but you know, not really kind of out of that junior level, or at least a senior junior.
Yeah, I'd say I'm somewhere between junior intermediate. Definitely not at the low end of junior, definitely not senior, but I know enough about programming and the application as a whole, everything from server administration to taking all the responsibilities of the project, whether it's supporting it with customers or it's responding to the server going down in the middle of the night. I mean, it's all stuff I've dealt with and know how to deal with.
So you said you've had some probably the majority of your experience with web development, but you didn't mention what sort of stack you would kind of prefer to work on. Do you have a preference?
From my experience, I've not a particular stack, but I have preferred the back end more than the front end. Whether it's kind of database administration or doing the design of a relational database, or it's the server administration or the business logic on the back end or making an API. I find all those things to be very clean and you can make them very efficient. From my experience, at least, sometimes towards the front end, it can get a little bit messier. Maybe that's just the environments I've worked with. Maybe that's just because we've been adapting a lot of new technologies on the fly. But that's kind of made me want to shy a little bit away from the front end stuff, which I can do and I'm comfortable with and familiar with. But generally, I've enjoyed the back end more. As far as a specific stack, I think every language kind of has its own pros and cons. I don't really favor one too much over another. I try to keep an open mind about it.
You mentioned to me when we were just talking one-on-one about working with recruiters, and we're gonna interview a recruiter at some point on the show. But I'd like to know sort of what your experience was like with a recruiter, and how that sort of worked in Vancouver specifically.
Okay, I've never worked with a recruiter before coming to Vancouver. I've found all my jobs either through people or just applying to jobs online and being lucky enough to get a response back via email, and then going in and having the interview. I've only seen one recruiter since I've come to Vancouver, and I had applied to a job posting, and the response I got back was from a recruiter saying, hey, come on in, we'll interview you. So I interview with the recruiter. It's kind of a general assessment. One thing I sort of didn't like right off the bat was the person interviewing me wasn't technical. From what I could garner, they were more so just looking for whatever buzzwords I could come up with, which was not that appealing because...
Do you have experience with Docker?
No, I don't have experience with Docker.
That would be a buzzard.
Yeah. How's your functional programming in JavaScript, man?
Yeah, so yeah. It just comes to things like that. Just kind of, they get a hold of these words like, agile, oh my God, this person is agile. Well, I just don't really like it when it comes down to what buzzwords do I know, or how can I take the skills that I have and apply them to certain buzzwords. And I find that seems to be a bit of a problem when I'm being interviewed by non-technical people. So the recruiter I did interview with, I left them all my information. Interview went well. Since then, I've received a few emails from them saying, hey, we've got these job postings on our website. We think you'd be a good fit. You should apply for them. Mm-hmm. And so far, at least 2/3 of the time, when I look at these job postings, they're nowhere near my skill set. A lot of them are for, say, senior developers, or they're looking for people who are very, very, very into a certain technology, which I've never touched before. Like I said, I'm happy to learn new technologies, but they're not even matching me up, in my opinion, most of the time, not even in the slightest, with my actual skill set.
So you did an interview, but the jobs that they're sending you, they're sort of just shotgunning it, and maybe only 1/3 of those are actually relevant to the interview that you have with them and the skills that they know that you have. They're just kind of using you as a blanket developer that can do any of these 30 posts I just sent you.
It seems that way, yeah. I think that's definitely one of the downsides of being interviewed by someone who isn't technical, who can't really grasp what you know and what you don't know, because they don't know the stuff. So when it does come time to them trying to give you opportunities, it doesn't seem they're really sure what to give you, which makes sense. I mean, if I were to interview an accountant and try and assess their skills, I couldn't do it. I could pretend to.
That makes sense. Now, you mentioned you picked up C# relatively quickly and have been programming in that lately. Is there a language, or which language would you say you have the most familiarity with?
Okay. Probably my last job was for about 2 years, and that was using PHP. PHP, MySQL, and JavaScript. So you could say I'm quite comfortable with PHP, but on the other hand, I haven't really touched PHP in the last year. In that sense, you could also say I'm a bit rusty.
If you had a personal project or some idea for this interesting website that you'd like to to build an MVP for, what stack would you go for? What would be your go-to?
I would probably go to Ruby. I might try something like Angular on the front. Primary reason being, since I've come to Vancouver, not before, but only once I came to Vancouver, suddenly everyone's bringing up Ruby. So
everyone's on the Ruby train.
Yeah.
Everyone's on the Ruby train. Ruby on Rails. So because of that, if I was going to develop a web application, I would choose Ruby for it. In fact, I already started setting up the environment for Ruby back home maybe a week ago. I ended up going back to my other project, but if I do a web development project, it will be in Ruby because that's what people are working with here. And it makes sense to work with what everyone else is working with. There's no sense in picking a language your local community isn't using.
James, you're here. Do you work in Ruby?
I do not. And actually, Drew had mentioned GitLab earlier in the show, and I said I don't use it. And one of the reasons I stopped using it was because it was in Ruby and I didn't want to have to set up the Ruby environment on my server. Where I said I used GOGS, which is Go-driven, which is a single binary. I throw it in the server. I run it in Supervisor. But anyway, I think that Ruby for applications has murdered it. They're just killing it. They're taking over applications. But PHP is still super relevant for sites, for websites in the classic sense. Obviously, WordPress is PHP. All of the major CMSs, WordPress, Drupal, Joomla, all of them are all PHP.
In the Gerbs and Contracts channel on the YVR Dev Slack, someone just posted a job for PHP.
Cool.
PHP developer.
Yeah, the PHP channel in the YVR Dev Slack is bumping.
Nice.
There's like 10 people, but I just started it, so get off my back, man.
Cool. Yeah. I'll have to check that out. I've been to the Contracts and Gerbs, J-E-R-B-S, section of the Slack. But I haven't checked it out in the last little while. I have seen a few job postings recently for PHP, and I would be perfectly happy to go back to PHP. The reason I say Ruby, though, is I always want to learn new technologies.
Yeah, the agency route is probably good for people that are looking for PHP because a lot of the agencies are either supporting legacy or they're building on something that's upgrading something. If a place does WordPress, it's all PHP. There's no doubt about it. I met a guy the other day. He does Sugar CRM. And all of their stuff is PHP too. So the agency route is probably better than the sort of startup app route, from what I understand and from what I've found. There's not too many apps. I think Pickatick actually does use PHP, and so does Hootsuite. They have a huge PHP portion of their application. So there are a few, not many agencies are stacked with PHP. Except for Brewhouse. Brewhouse, they do websites and stuff. Gabe from Brewhouse was here, and then they do Ruby. So they're one of the few Ruby agencies around that I've seen.
I don't know. Yeah, I guess it's hard to tell. It does seem like in the startup scene, there's a lot of Ruby, though. For me, Ruby would definitely be my go-to. But that's mostly just simply familiarity, and I like the syntax.
Yeah.
Yeah, from what I've seen of it, it's not bad and good as anything else.
Yeah.
So if there was some way that someone wanted to get in touch with you, how would they get in touch with you?
Probably through email.
Okay. Or if you want people to get in touch with you on YVR Dev Slack, what's your username on YVR Dev Slack?
So if someone wanted to get in touch with me, I'm on the YVR Dev Slack. My username is Joe, J-O-E, pretty
simple.
Yeah,
that's a sweet get.
Yeah, I know, right?
I can't believe Joe wasn't taken.
I tried a few other ones first, and then I realized the way this works, I should just get the simplest one. I didn't realize that was the system.
Yeah.
I'm actually really surprised when I meet people that have usernames that don't in any way reflect their actual name, because...
Yeah.
I mean, there's still, I got Drew, you got James, Gabe has Gabe, Joe has Joe. It kind of makes sense.
Chris has Chris, like Chris got Chris. Like, it's amazing how many people just like, and there's like 500 people there.
Yeah.
And it's amazing.
I was pretty surprised. Yeah, there were at least probably close to 400 when I was like, Joe. Okay, I'll just go with that.
Yeah, awesome.
You were actually the second Joe I met in like a day or two that reached out to me on YVR Slack as well. So when you said hi, I was wondering which Joe it was.
Yeah, so I may have just got that.
Yeah.
So yeah, I would either contact me through the YVR Dev Slack at Joe, or email. That's joelynch1, so J-O-E-L-Y-N-C-H, and then the number 1, at gmail.com.
So you didn't get the legacy Gmail.
There's a bajillion other Joe Lynches out there. It's not going to happen.
Great. Well, thanks for talking for us. I hope you have a good luck in your job search. Maybe someone will reach out to you and find something good for you.
Thank you very much.
Yeah,
I hope
good.
I answered any questions you had or did whatever you wanted me to do.
You sure did, and I'm just thinking about that bullet.
Oh, bullet, the fertilized egg.
Yeah, I can't get that image out of my mind for some reason.
Yeah, that'll be cool.
Let's go for some chicken.
Cool.
All right.
Thanks for listening to another episode of
Vancouver Tech Podcast.ca.
That's our site. You can actually email us too at show@vancouvertechpodcast.ca.
Or find us in the YVR Dev Slack. I'm at Drew.
I'm at James.
We're almost always online.
You can actually get an invite to YVR Dev Slack if you haven't got one already at yvrdev.herokuapp.com.
See you there.
Bye.